Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of faith and healing for Eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Covenant Health's mission continues to be ministry through healing by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Reverend Stephanie Nash, who is senior pastor at Second Baptist Church here in Lubbock. Stephanie, we've been friends for many, many years, and it's a joy and a delight to have you on this program this afternoon. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Tom. The honor is all mine.
Before we came on air, we were remembering that you were here before, so welcome back. Remind us when you were here before.
Oh, it's been several years. Ted Dotz asked me to come a few years ago and talk about women in ministry. We had a wonderful conversation.
So now you're back a few years later as senior pastor to talk about women in ministry and about some other things and pay some homage to our dear friend Ted Dotz, who hosted this program for so many years, whom all of us shared as a beautiful friend over so many years, whose presence is always close to us.
Yes.
Tell us about Stephanie.
I'm a native Texan, born in Houston, but actually grew up here in Lubbock from third grade on. I'm a native of Lubbock. I went off to school at Baylor. Came back to teach at Coronado High School for 25 years. I taught English, advanced placement English, and loved every minute of it. I had the dream job teaching wonderful, bright students. Then had a call, responded by applying for a job at my own church, Second Baptist, as the education minister. So I've been there since 1999.
You were a member of the church previously?
I was, yes. When I joined the church, Hardy Clemens was our pastor, and he actually married my husband and I, and so we have a long history with Hardy. When I applied for the job as education minister, or pastor for education, Charlie Johnson was our senior pastor at the time.
Let's go back to your teaching days. Teaching English, any particular poet, any particular person that comes to mind a special affection for in your teaching?
Oh, yes. I was particularly drawn to American poets. Did my master's thesis about Emily Dickinson, Robert Frost. I had several favorites, but I was drawn to poetry.
Do you write any poetry?
Oh, none that you'll know about.
So it's a divine mystery which will be revealed in due course when we have the great revelation.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. But then moving into your years at Second Baptist, you began after being a former English teacher, minister for education at Second Baptist.
Yes.
What did that entail for you?
I, of course, had education in my bones. I felt very drawn to the education of adults in particular. We had other ministers for youth and children, but I was drawn to the task of faith formation for adults. Really had a vision of broadening that and deepening that experience for the adults in our church and in our community.
And what are the challenges of adult education?
I find that the role of the church in faith formation and in family life has changed since I was a child. So children often don't receive the same sort of instruction growing up as maybe I received as a child. That is a challenge for us. I think churches like ours who really commit themselves to faith formation for children and youth then bear the fruit of that as the adults then continue to participate in our church life. But we also draw many, many folks from other traditions to Second B because we're very inclusive in our worship style, in our general theology. We find many folks who find their ways to us who have no real background in scripture or faith formation. So it's a broad audience.
Where would you start with an adult who has very little or no, say, formal training in the Christian tradition? Where would you start?
Well, we encourage all of our members to participate in Sunday school. As old as that concept is, it's really a model that still works beautifully as we open scripture together in smaller groups and have an open dialogue about scripture. Second B, we don't think you should check your mind at the door, as we say. You're welcome and encouraged to ask questions of faith unashamedly. We have an open conversation and see ourselves as all beggars looking for crumbs, looking for encouragement on the journey. Really, anyone of any stage of development in their faith, I think, would find a welcome place.
In terms of an approach to Scripture, do you take it as a to the Hebrew Scriptures, to the Old Testament, or the New Testament, or do you do it in terms of themes?
We actually have classes that do both or either. Some are following a book-by-book type study of Old Testament or New Testament books or letters. Others follow a curriculum that is more thematic in nature. And then other classes are open discussion of topics of the day, of current interest, of faith interfacing with culture, and, you know, how faith is relevant in today's world. So we have quite a wide buffet of choices in terms of where you are in your faith journey.
In terms of favorite themes or books from the Old Testament, where would Stephanie find herself?
I've just finished a year-long study of Genesis. I think we could have probably gone another year. It is so rich in metaphor and symbolism and narrative that it's really the deep-rootedness of our faith. I love the beginnings of Genesis. Those familiar archetypal stories that we all relate to and are so relevant even today in terms of dysfunctional families and struggles within humankind. I think everyone can relate to the stories of Genesis.
What part do the Psalms play in your own individual studies?
I often turn to the Psalms for whatever frame of mind I'm in and whatever spirit I find myself in, because that's what's so beautiful about the Psalms. They have such a variety.
And they're timeless, of course.
And timeless, yes.
In Irish, they're very much tied in with nature. And of course,
yes.
I find that so appealing.
Yes.
Stephanie, we'll take a short break now.
All right.
And we'll continue this fascinating conversation.
I'll look forward to it.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And is Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Our special guest this Sunday afternoon, if you're joining us just now, is Reverend Stephanie Nash, and Stephanie is senior pastor at Second Baptist Church here in Lubbock. In the New Testament, any particular part of the New Testament that appeals to you?
I'm most drawn, of course, to the Gospels. The story of our Lord is just so revealing of God's nature. Of those four works, I'm probably most drawn to the Gospel of John. There's a depth of spirituality in John's reflection on the life of Jesus decades later after Jesus' death that I think has a depth and a breadth to it that I really respond to.
Would you think that in terms of your earlier calling as an English teacher, you think the language of John, the richness of the imagery and the intensity of the love affair, shall we say, with
yes.
the Christ,
yes.
you think that's particularly attractive for you?
I think so. And he seems to cast a wider sort of vision of the impact of Christ's life. I think that comes from the wisdom of his own life, writing it probably in older age and reflecting on it.
Which brings us to your call to ministry.
In 2002, I was ordained to the pastoral ministry. I had been already ordained as a deacon earlier in, I think, 1980.
To what would you attribute the special call that you have with as a leader and as a person within the community of faith.
I often refer to that experience in my past as a sort of two before to the head. I think God had to get my attention. I was very happily situated as an English teacher at Coronado High School. So it really was a stunning sort of event. I feel very fortunate to have experienced it because I think it's rare, and I never hoped to duplicate that. It was actually a dream experience, and I say that with some caution because it's not the mode of communication God uses with me that often, but it is in the Bible. I find some support in thinking of how many times God uses dreams to speak to people in the Bible. But I did have a dream experience which sort of rocked me. I couldn't shake the effects of that dream, began speaking to my husband about it, and then to Charlie Johnson, who was our pastor at the time, and to friends, and felt the confirmation of others in the pursuit of where it might lead. That's how the journey began. With each step, I felt more confidence and courage to continue that journey and never really look back. I've never regretted one step of it.
It must have been quite traumatic leaving your teaching world, which was...
Well, my friends and peers, associates at Coronado were so supportive. Not really traumatic at all. They seemed to celebrate that with me and encourage me on the journey. I felt nothing but their support. As I entered the new field of service, I just felt challenged by the vision. It's been a wonderful adventure. With its ups and its downs, working in the parish life, you know, life is sometimes gritty. I find it such a challenge and a reward.
As you conceive of church as community, not buildings, but mm-hmm. I know Second B espouses church as community.
Yes.
What flows into the church on a Sunday and during the week that tells you that you're doing the Lord's work?
There is a mystery that occurs for me every Sunday. It's ineffable. I can't really describe it. But as we gather together as the body of Christ, there is a love that is generated within our worship, within our conversations in the hallway, in our sharing life together that I can't explain. I just know that it resets my clock every week. And without it, I think I would feel lost.
What are people looking for in today's world when they come to a synagogue, a mosque, to a place of worship? What are they basically looking for?
As we plan worship each Sunday, we assume a rather sacred task that everyone who walks in our doors is seeking God. It may be someone who has not had the courage to do that for years, or perhaps for the first time in their lives. For others, it's a weekly assumption that they will meet God in that place, in that sacred space. And we invite God to join us, to be a part of us. With every beginning of every service, which is part of my task to call us to worship, we invoke God's presence. Of course, God is there long before we even arrive to turn on the lights. But still, there's a welcoming of God's Spirit that is from the very initial moment that we gather together.
Do you invite your congregation to search out the needs of the individuals gathering for worship on a Sunday? Do you encourage that?
Oh, of course. In fact, I often challenge us to seek the Christ in each other's eyes. I think that's one way we see into the soul of each other, by recognizing the image of God in each and every person who walks in. That is part of the thrill of the adventure, that Christ comes in many disguises.
I'm always impressed, and I say this out loud because I'd like listeners to know this, of all the places of worship in Lubbock, I think Second Baptist is one of the most inclusive, one of the most inviting. You've been that since... You were founded by Bob Heron.
Yes.
50 plus years ago.
Yes. And that's part of our vision. That's part of our core value, that we're all God's children, all loved equally by God. We are not to filter. We're not to dissuade people from coming in our doors. It is God's church. It is Christ's church. We welcome everyone as equal in God's eyes and loved by God equally.
Ted Dodge used to say that the more a church looked like a hospital,
yes,
rather than a country club or a fancy lobby somewhere, the more we do, perhaps we're doing God's work.
The only addition I would make to Ted's good words is I think of it more as an ER.
Yeah.
We have wounded folks who come in, and you know, with all that life can do to a person, it's not a perfect place at all. It's not a group of perfect people. We are all there just helping each other heal.
I used to say in my days as an active priesthood, thank God for sinners, otherwise I'd be out of a job.
Yes, so. Right.
Well, Stephanie, we take a short break and then we'll continue this marvelous conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And as Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Stephanie Nash. Stephanie is senior pastor at Second Baptist here in Lubbock. And Stephanie, as a woman pastor, senior pastor, it's a unique role. How are we going to see more of you in other communities of faith?
Well, first, let me correct Tom that I'm the interim senior pastor.
Well, in my book, you're the senior pastor. I choose deliberately to ignore the interim, okay?
Since some of our congregation members may be calling soon, it'd be great. I do feel as though the role of women in leadership in the church is inevitable. I realize it may take lifetimes before it's realized across the board. The arc of history is long, but bends toward justice. And I believe it's inevitable that women will, as St. Paul suggested in Galatians, his letter to Galatians, that there's really no Jew or Gentile. There's no slave or free. There is no male or female in God's eyes and in the kingdom of God. In my heart, nothing I can prove. I feel as though time will heal all wounds and women will eventually be called to that role of leadership in a much more routine way in all those denominations and gatherings of faith where they may be denied that now.
You mentioned that you had a gathering of Muslim women.
Yes. Partnering with the Lubbock Interfaith Association and Sue Morrow in particular, we planned an event in which all women from the community were invited to come and hear the voices of Muslim women from our community. We had three women serve on a panel representing different ages, expressions of Muslim faith, and they shared openly and happily of their faith and their traditions. Not only did we have women in the audience who asked wonderful questions of them and sharing their faith and their journeys with us, but other Muslim women in the audience from different traditions within the Muslim faith compared their experiences. So it was a rich, rich evening. And I'd say the spirit of it was enlightening and light. Everyone was joyful and celebrated these open expressions of faith.
How can communities of faith speak to these issues in terms where we males are concerned to be able to be part of a change in culture and thinking that is ingrained in us as males?
Well, I do think that there is some soul searching involved where each of us recognize the male and the female within each one of us. I think it's part of the imprint of God on each one of us, reflection of God's image that we have both female and male qualities. So that perhaps may be one place to begin. Our culture actually kind of leads us this way. In so many places, women have already been recognized for their leadership roles in industry and commerce and business and education. And so the church may be a little behind there in terms of recognizing that. as was recently expressed at the conference that we both attended, I believe men talking to men is also extremely important, because there's a witness there as they begin to share their journeys with each other and the influence of women within their own lives. I think that will open some doors of an awakening of the fact that it is really not contrary to the gospel. It is not contrary to a patriarchy that reflected earlier cultures. It is really, I think, the will of God that all children are seen as equal.
Stephanie, as especially in your preaching role, is there a womanly part of your presentation that has a special place and speaks to a special need in congregations?
I don't really know. It's still a deep mystery for myself as well. I cannot help but think that God celebrates the male and the female expressions as he created them and longs for their full expression. It was always intended in creation to be a celebration of two parts making a whole.
God as mother, you think that has a special place as the warmth, the nurturing?
I would like to think we all have those qualities equally within us. Perhaps we've been encouraged to express them in different roles, and we can learn so from each other. Men can learn from women how to mother or comfort, encourage children. Women can learn from men as well. And so I think we instruct each other in those gifts that we may have had nurtured within ourselves, both male and female, and each of us grow stronger as a result. And in my preaching, I bring whatever I have of my gifts to the Word, and perhaps that reveals things that might have been unseen, perhaps not. I think sometimes just hearing a female voice may recall certain experiences in every human of their own upbringing, hopefully if they had a loving, nurturing female voice in their past. The same is true with the male voice. We hear echoes of our own loving fathers, perhaps, in our upbringing. There are so many folks for whom that is not their experience. We can't assume that. When we climb into the pulpit, I don't think we can assume our voices will be heard one way or another.
For our listeners this Sunday afternoon who are most needy, who are searching the most, what would you say to them?
I would say God is as close to them as their breath and their heartbeat. If I learned anything from my call, it is that I don't have to beg God to love me, to forgive me. It is already done.
Thank you, Stephanie. What a beautiful way to conclude this wonderful conversation this Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of working to improve the health and quality of life in the communities we serve. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.